Blog Talk Radio.
Things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and it's good to be here. And we thank God it's because of his mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. The writer goes on to say, great is thy faithfulness. So that's out of Lamentations, the third chapter. So we thank God that we're here again with Truth on Blog Talk Radio, and we haven't been on the air in two or three weeks. And just before the last time that we were on, we experienced a hurricane here in the state of Florida where I live. So had to get out of here. So now we are back on the air, and we thank God for it. So we didn't suffer any loss. So I'm grateful for that. And that's why I say, great is thy faithfulness. And that is God's faithfulness. So we thank God that we're here again. So we actually are here broadcasting today, October 27th, 2017. So this is actually the last Wednesday in October. But it's good to be here. And so we thank God for all of our Facebook friends, LinkedIn connections, Twitter followers, and Blog Talk friends. Thank you all that are listening on demand. We are actually live now, but you that will be listening on demand, thank God for you. So it's good to be here. So we are still continuing. And so we were in the book of St. John. So my ongoing theme is the Godhead, and so we're still talking about only believe. So this is part 8. So should you desire to call in, you can do that. If you have a question or should you have a comment, you are welcome. So our call-in number, 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285 to call in on Truth on Blog Talk Radio. So we still have the ongoing question, knowing that time is short, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed. And so it's not about us, but it's about the gospel message of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he is the Messiah. He is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And so that's what it's all about, the message, the gospel message. And so we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is St. Paul's letter to the church, the Ephesian church at Ephesus. And so he's always also it is one of his prison epistles that I want to say. And he was encouraging them and writing to them about their position and how that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. So this was not only for the Jews, but it's for the Gentiles. It's for other people too, because like Peter preached, and he said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, when he was preaching at Cornelius' house in the 10th chapter of St. John. But he said, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. So he came to seek and to save that which was lost, the Son of Man, the Son of God, which was God incarnate in the flesh. So this is what we read when we come on, when we say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, because that was John writing. He was one of the apostles, incidentally, he was the last apostle to die. He was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word, the testimony of the Lord, to be a witness, and to write the things which are here and, shall be hereafter. So he had to write of the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he wrote of the end times. So if you've been following along any length of time, I make mention when we have even been in the book of the Revelation, but after the fourth chapter of the book of the Revelation, the church is in heaven. Everything John is seeing, he's looking back on the earth or in the earth, and woe to the inhabitants of the earth. So God's pouring out his wrath. Visions go back and forth. So that's what that's all about. So he is the one, the book of the Apostle John, or we call St. John. He wrote St. John, the first, second, and third epistle of John, and the book of the Revelation. So we are going through the series Only Believe. And so today we're going to be embarking into the 14th chapter of St. John. So we actually left off in the 13th chapter and about the betrayal and Judas, what he did. He went out because he was a devil. It's Satan entered in. He went out. He told him what he'd do, what thou doest, do quickly. So he did go out. And so we're going on through St. John's Gospel on today. So what we want to speak about on today, the understanding of the Father. So understanding that there is only one God, and he, as the Son of God, kept making reference to the Father. So the understanding of the Father, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, is the self-same one. God is one. So that's what we want to talk about today. So our key tags, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. So remember St. John 6:63, he said it's the Spirit that quickeneth. That word quickeneth means make alive. He went on to say the flesh profiteth nothing. But the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So he's going on here after the betrayal to do just a little recap, because it's been several weeks since we had left off with this part. But anyway, he goes on here. He was letting them know he instituted the Lord's Supper. So I've given you an example. So he was telling them how he took the towel, girded himself, washed their feet, gave them an example. You know, said, "You call me Master and Lord. You say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." So he goes on here. He says, "I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." And so he goes on here. So he's talking about the son of perdition. He's the only one that's lost in this group of 12 that he chose. And he said, "I have not I chose 12 of you, and one of you is the devil." So he goes on here. "Now I tell you before it come, that when it come to pass, you may believe that I am he." So he's the same one that Moses said, "Whom shall I say sent me? Tell him I am." Talking about when Moses was and Aaron were conversing back and forth with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that had the children of Israel in bondage. So he goes on here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. He that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me." So remember, it's the Spirit. It is God. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." So remember now, he was a prophet. He is the priest now that ever liveth to make intercession for us, and he shall be the king, 1 Timothy 6:15, which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. That word potentate means supreme ruler. The writer goes on to say King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he's a prophet, he's the priest, and he shall be the king in his time. So he's going on here. He was a prophet before he enters into his priesthood. After he makes atonement, after he comes, he's on earth for 40 days. Then he goes back to heaven, and he's on the 50th day, 10 days later, he sent the Holy Ghost, which is power from on high, the fulfillment of Joel 2:28. "It shall come to pass, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your servants and handmaids will I pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy," which means preach. So there's neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, in the body of Christ. We are as angels in the church of God. He has an order. That means we are neuter gender. He's not looking at what gender you are to preach the gospel. And so that's ridiculous for these people that try to hold back women preachers, because even Philip the evangelist, he had four daughters. He was one of the seven. He had four daughters which did prophesy, which simply means that they preached. So we go on here. He's saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth me, that I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. He that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me." So when he had said thus, going right back to where I said, where I was, when he had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Then the disciples look one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop. And when he had dipped it, and when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. After the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. No man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto them. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightly and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. Now, so now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So we go on here, getting ready to go into our lesson, just bringing you up to par from where we left off on the last time. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest? Whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. So Peter had a good heart. People always talk about Peter denied him. Yes, he did. Before the gospel was established, before the death of the master on the cross. But after that, he didn't deny him no more. He had little problems with understanding that this gospel wasn't just for the Jews, who are considered, when you read the text and the scriptures, the circumcision, and the other people, the Gentiles, were considered uncircumcision. But that's the only problem that he had. Other than that, he laid down his life. He didn't hold back. So Jesus answered him, would I lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Three times. So we're going on here today as we continuing in our series, Only Believe, Part 8. So should you desire to call in, as I've said a few minutes ago, you are welcome to do so. Our call-in number, 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. So we go on here, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So he's not talking about heaven. So many times we hear this. Over the years, I heard it, especially at funerals. That is not what he's talking about. He's talking about many mansions. The Father's house is not in heaven. The house of God is in the earth. That's what Jacob said. This is none other than the house of God, the gate of heaven. When you read back in the book of Genesis, so the house of God is not in heaven. So mansions is referring to abiding places. So the Father's house is not in heaven, but the Father's house is on earth. Because not only that, because the people of God go to heaven, we're going to inherit all things. So if you remember, when you read in the Gospels, especially I believe Matthew 24, when he says he's going to send his angels to gather together his elect from the under the four winds of heaven. And so, like somebody said, what do you think we're going to be doing up there? That's after the rapture of the church. We, the people of God, are going to be beholding the handiworks of God. He's going to send his angels to gather us together. Because remember now, at the second part of the tribulation period, we're going to come back. That's the fulfillment of the word. Jude says, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Not thousand, but thousands of his saints. So this is in the book of Jude. So there's so much to be fulfilled. And so remember, even after the resurrection, before he ascended, he was on earth speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He told them that they should not depart, but wait for the promise which saith he, ye have heard of me. And he was saying, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So they were coming together. They asked him a question. Acts 1 and 6, they said, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? That was a legitimate question. He let them know it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He said those words. He stepped on a cloud, was received out of their sight. So two men in bright clothing or white apparel, they were angels. They says, you men of Israel, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus was taken up, shall also come in like manner. So, like I made mention, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these. This is in Jude 14th verse, because there's only one chapter. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. So that word thousands of his saints, not 10,000, but 10,000s. So how many is that? That's a whole lot. So God is a timely God. He watches over his word to perform it. He esteemed his word above all his name. We know his name is above every name. So the Hebrew writer says, when he swear by no greater, he swear by himself. And he goes on to say it was impossible for God to lie. So that's the thing. If God said something, it shall come to pass. So that's the problem that people have. They say things, and it is not God. And then people try to say, well, you know, like these false prophets, what they are. They told a lie. They're trying to be so important. And the gospel is not about us. And these people so-called got this lie out now today. And this time, and this so-called, you know, they call it a season and all that, you know, having people, they call themselves activating prophets. Well, how stupid is that? They're not saying anything about the salvation of souls. And these so-called apostles are promoting themselves because the apostles are dead. Like I said, I've given the scriptures before about what an apostle is. They were eyewitnesses. They were chosen by the Lord. They were taught by the Lord. They saw him personally. They were personally taught by the Lord. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. And all of them that were eyewitnesses weren't. Luke was not an apostle, but he wrote. So they wrote the New Testament scriptures. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures because they were sent forth. So we're building on the foundation. Ephesians 2 and 20 says, and we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Because remember, that's what he was saying. These are the words that I spake unto you in the 24th chapter of Luke in the 44th verse. These are the words that I spake unto you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Thus it behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preaching his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Thus I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So that's exactly what they did. So when the day of Pentecost would come, they were in an upper room, and then suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothed in tongues like as of fire that set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, yes, the Spirit, because a lot of people say, as the Spirit of God give utterance. Peter said, as the Spirit gives utterance. Don't fool yourself. The Spirit is God. That's what he was talking about, the Holy Ghost. So as we go on here today, and we're continuing here because we're talking about the house of God. Before I went, just trying to give you all the information that I can, because there's so much. You cannot exhaust the word of God. So he goes on here. He's talking about preparing a place. So the Father's house is on in the earth. The many mansions are the abiding places. So, and then so whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Because that's why they were saying, you know, we want to go. You can't follow me now. But he said, you can follow me here, you know, afterwards. So, because he had to do the redemptive work. He came to lay down his life that he may take it again. That's what he said. You know, no man take my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. He didn't say pick it back up. A lot of people say that. But he said, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So he goes on here, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? So they didn't know exactly what he was talking about, because he had to take, give them understanding, because their eyes were hoping, holding that they should not know him. Even after he rose from the dead, they were on the road to Emmaus talking. They thought he was the gardener. That's why he was saying, these are the words I speak unto you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And so he made as though he would go a little further, and he vanished out of their sight. That's why they said, didn't our hearts burn with us while he talked with us along the way, that is, on the road to Emmaus. And so he said he was going to lay down his life, give his life a ransom for many, but they didn't really know what he was talking about. Because even when he was saying he's going to be crucified and rejected of the elders, rise again the third day, Peter took him and began to rebuke him in the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter. So the Lord turned and looked on Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savest the things that be of men and not those things that be of God. Was he talking to Peter? No, he was talking to that spirit. He's talking to the enemy, which is the devil, because Peter didn't want him to die. So he didn't know what exactly he was talking about, because nobody ever came talking about giving their life and they're going to get up again on the third day. Because even John the Baptist, who was the forerunner, he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. It was so dark. It was so bad. It was a thousand, we say, 400 years of silence when the Lord didn't say nothing, because he didn't have to say nothing, because his prophetic word was going to come to pass at the appointed time. The people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Talking about down in Capernaum, when Jesus went down there and he dwelt there. So they didn't know what was really going to happen. But The light has come. That's why John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So he's saying, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. So you got to follow the light. So this is who we're talking about, the Messiah, the Emmanuel. We call him in the English Jesus. He is the light of the world. And so he goes on here, I'm the way. They were saying, how can we know the way? Thomas said, we don't know where you're going, and how are we going to know? How can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we don't understand. You can't understand the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You cannot understand the oneness of God except you have the Spirit of God. So the natural man, he don't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Just like I said in St. John 6:63, it's the Spirit that quickeneth, or it makes alive. The flesh profited nothing. That's why he said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So it takes the Holy Ghost to understand who Jesus is, to understand that he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, is what he told John in the book of the Revelation. And I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. In other words, he's not talking about no keys like we say. He is talking about the power and the authority of death. Like the Hebrew writer says, much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might take death out of the hands of him that had it. That is the devil. So he didn't take on him the nature of angels, he said, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a faithful and merciful high priest in things pertaining to God. So that's why he can help us, because he being succored, as much as he being tempted, he's able to succor. The word succor means to help them that are tempted. Why? Because he been there. He was in a human body when he was in the earth, and that's why he came. This purpose, the Son of God was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. So, atonement, like they say, the Day of Atonement. So, don't have to do that no more. So, he made the atonement at one mint. It's all done. Once in the end of the world, a Hebrew writer says, he hath appeared in the presence of God to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. So, this is what the gospel message is all about. So, he shed his blood. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So, that's why we have to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. And when he told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And he went on to let them know, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and promises unto you, Jews, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So we go on here. So he said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. As we say, we'll be satisfied if you show us the Father. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, yet hast thou not known me? Philip, a question. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily I say unto you, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So, what is that to say? When ye receive the Holy Ghost, Acts 1 and 8, but ye shall receive, remember I was talking about when they asked the question, you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? And he let them know that it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So it's being preached now, the gospel, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So when you receive the Holy Ghost, you can do what he done. We have prayed for people. In my time that I've been Holy Ghost filled, I have prayed for people. And God has healed people because God is God, and God works through his people. He's working through the church. So this is, we have a job. Everyone needs to operate in the gift that God has given them to operate in. So that's what makes it unique, because he is the head of the church, which is his body. So, oh yes, he can heal. You know, people try to say things, so we can get really technical and say, well, you don't have no hands except for ours and all. And yes, he does. He's a spirit. But he uses people, because that's why he said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they take up any drink, any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And he went on to say, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So now, are some sicknesses unto death? Yes, they are. But some sicknesses are not unto death. And so we know it's once appointed unto men to die, and after this to judgment, Hebrews 9 and 27. But there are times that God is a healer. He's still a healer. It doesn't matter. So that's the question is, we got to pray and see what the will of God is in circumstances. So every kind of sickness, as we say, we would say somebody is sick because they got a bad fever, or they got a bad cold, or they got the flu, or they have pneumonia. But you could have a sprained ankle. That's sick. You can have a migraine headache. That is sick. You could have an upset stomach or food poisoning. That is sick. You can have a toothache. That is sick. So we have degrees of what we call sickness. So we said, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. So what he's talking about is the Holy Ghost working through people, not us going around talking about name and claim it and all this foolishness. These people talking about he'll bless you. Talking about a car and a house and all this craziness. You can get whatever you want. You got the money. There's people that don't pray. They don't regard God. He is hardly in their thoughts. Maybe as a cliche, you know, just like the president right now. And that's it, at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue at this particular time. The president, he may say, God bless this country. I mean, this man never asked for forgiveness, according to him. He don't, need to say he's sorry or none of that. I mean, some people are, that's the time that we're living in. They have a heart like Pharaoh. They won't repent. They're just hard-hearted. And so this is the time that we're living in. That's why he was saying that if riches increase, don't set your heart on it. So he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, but trusting the living God who gives us all things to enjoy. And he was talking about they may lay hold on eternal life, be ready to distribute to help somebody else, because we didn't bring anything into this world, and it is certain we're not going to take anything out of this world with us. The only thing going to heaven with us is our prayers are going and our soul. We're not taking nothing else. You ain't going to drive your car and the Brinks truck be behind you in a moving van with all your stuff. Like Job said, naked came I thither, and naked shall I return. The Lord has gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So you're not taking anything with you. We need things while we are here in the earth. Yes, we do. So that you want to be blessed. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. So you want to be blessed. Whatever you put your hands to do, it prosper. You want to be not only be bless other people, as the Lord told Abraham, "Thou shalt, I'm gonna bless him that bless you, curse him that curses you." And he went on to let him know, "And these shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And he was letting him know that thou shall be a blessing. So that's what we want to do. As when you understand what the will of God is, you want to be a blessing to somebody else. You want to inspire somebody else. You want to motivate somebody else. You want to encourage somebody else. You want to bring out the best in somebody else. That is a blessing, not stuff. So, yeah, that's no big thing. It's like he said, the word, and, just reaping and sowing and trying to buy a blessing is total foolishness. Because you can't buy a blessing. That is right out stupidity, period. You can't buy a blessing. It's like he was talking about the sparrows and how you take care of them and they don't sow. So you much more valuable than them, than a bird is what he's saying. So in other words, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to open doors for you. So all we got to do is, like he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So that's all we have to do, is do what he says. And so all of this other stuff that, like I said, these people are supposing that gain is godliness. And Paul wrote Timothy, he says, from such turn away. So in other words, get away from them. So he was going on here. He let him know, if you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. So go on here. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. So notice what he's saying here. You know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So he was still in their presence as a human. This is before he was arrested and taken to trial and crucified. So he goes on here, I would not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. So what he's saying is, I'm coming in another form. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while. The world seeth me no more. So in other words, you're not going to see me like you do now, but you see me because I live, you shall live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou would manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He goes on here, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. So if you don't love me, he says, you don't keep my sayings. And the word which ye heard, it you heard is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. So that is paramount, right? That statement right there. Note that he is still in their presence talking to them. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, ye would rejoice because I said I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so do, so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So that's what he's talking about. He here when he was saying, talking about the words, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. So that's what's so very important here in today's lesson, because they were waiting for the promise of the Father. And so that's what the world needs, and that's why I ask people, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And so a lot of people say that they have, but they haven't. And so that's, you got to make sure. You can't be, mere religion is not going to save you, but you have to have the Holy Ghost. You're not going to be saved. And so, Lord, fix this like this. So not only that, out of all things, what a great wonder, what a great mystery, the birth of a child, remember the new birth, he says, you must be born again. That's why Nicodemus, he asked a legitimate question. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into his mother's womb the second time and be born? And that's why he was saying, except a man be born of water, born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. And he goes on to say that, which is, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Water could be anywhere, but the Spirit is only one. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's why he was saying that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. So when we're born again, our spirit is born again. Marvel not or don't wonder at what I'm saying. Ye must be born again. So he goes on to say, the wind bloweth where it listeneth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Notice he said the sound. So, and that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the key is, like I said about the baby, out of everything after they get the baby is born, the umbilical cord is cut, Then one more thing the doctor is looking for, and that is the sound of the baby crying. So this is why Apostle Paul said, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Somebody said it means daddy. So when a baby is born, they will cry. They got to hear. They hear that cry, they know everything is pretty much all right, because this baby has been in the mother, connected to the mother, in the mother's womb, living in there. They come out, it's different. They're born. So they got to breathe on their own. They're cut loose from their mother. They cry. The airways are open up, and they're breathing on their own. They are born. And when a baby is not breathing and don't cry and not breathing, then they call the baby stillborn. So in other words, it's dead. You're still. You're not making no noise. You're not breathing. You're not living, is what they're saying. So the new birth is an analogy, a parallel right along with the first birth. You make a sound, and that is you're crying, Abba, Father. In the new birth, the first birth, you cry. So that's those airwaves are open, the passages are open, you are breathing. So the new birth, you know you have it because you heard yourself speak. And so incidentally, God, what a wonder about God, when all the earth spake one language. Until in the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, they were going to build a tower. They call it the Tower of Babel or confusion. And so everyone spake the same language. They were going to build a tower to heaven, and they were going to make a name for themselves. And the writer says that God came down and checked it out. He saw it, and he said the people is one. So nothing will be withhold them from accomplishing what they set out to do. So what a wonder about God. He confused their languages that they couldn't understand one another. So therefore, they couldn't get it done. But the point was, that's why the Bible said the word of God is quick. That means it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Right there. God's word is synonymous with him. He is his word. He is not separate from his word, but it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is that there any creature, Hebrews 4:12, the writer says, that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So he knew their heart. So he already declared the end from the beginning. So that's why the writer said in Isaiah 46:9, remember the former things of old, I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. And then so he goes on to say, declaring the end from the beginning and ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it. So that's what I'm saying here. God has already declared the end from the beginning. So that's why he was saying, he was telling the people, when he was talking through the prophet Isaiah, he was saying, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together who hath declared from ancient time. This is a question. Who hath told it from that time? Another question. Have not I the Lord? Another question. There is no God beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is no God. None. He said, there is none beside me. So that's why he said, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. and there is none else. He goes on to say, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that every unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. So Apostle Paul got a glimpse of it. Every knee shall, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So it's only one God. So he's given all judgment unto the Son, the fifth chapter of St. John, to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. That's why he was saying, the hour is coming, and now it's going to come to pass, which the dead in the graves are going to hear the voice of the Son of God, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto life eternal, they that have done evil or bad unto the resurrection of damnation. And this is why Apostle Paul was writing in the book of Acts. He said there's going to be a resurrection of the just and a resurrection of the unjust. So this is why John was talking about in the book of the Revelation, that the dead in Christ, he was talking about, Paul talked about the dead in Christ rising first, and about the change in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But then John talked about that about the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that have part of the in the first resurrection. They shall be priests and reign with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead live not again, and then until the 1,000 years were fulfilled. And he goes on to say, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. So, because the second resurrection, if your name is not found in the book of Lamb's book of life, then you're going to have to, in the 20th chapter, you're going to have to stand before the great white throne judgment. So nobody in their right mind want to, the angel is going to cast, whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life is going to be cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are, and going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Nobody in their right mind want to go there. So we thank God for the lesson on today. And like we said, we finished up in the book of the 14th chapter of St. John. And so we're going to continue on next time. But we want you to know about the Spirit, who the Spirit and the Holy Ghost is, the self, the Comforter, the Father, the Holy Ghost, and the Comforter is the self same one. So you don't have to be confused about that. So that's why he was saying that the prince of this world are going to come and get him. They didn't have nothing in him. So he's letting them know. So you, and in light of all that is happening in the world today, God wants you to have peace. Because these things that are going on in the world is because the coming of the Lord is so near. And so we're going to talk more on next time. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And like I've said, examine yourselves, see whether you're in the faith. And I ask you the most important question, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? God bless you.